Okay, so I'm Sarah DeSombre, and I am here with Chuck Dominguez at EMS Expo 2010. And Chuck has been a paramedic for 9 years. And I just asked him, actually, is there any call that stands out in your memory? And it's clear that there is. Chuck, will you tell us about your very first call?
My very first call as a paramedic, which I've been a paramedic for 9 years. I had been a paramedic and did my internship for 3 weeks with an ambulance service in Arkansas, and it was time for me to get out on my own. And so the Saturday, the very first day of being a paramedic by myself, I was paired up with a very seasoned EMT. And so I'd got to work about 7:30. Here I was all gung-ho iguana, ready to go, and just as nervous as all get out. So I got to work and was checking off the truck. And when I went through paramedic school, I was told that whatever your first call right out of the bat was probably going to be your jinx and going to be most of your career. So we were checking off the truck, and my very first day as a paramedic at 8:03, when our shift started at 8, we received a call for a 14-month-old that wasn't breathing. So we take off and start going to this call, and I'm just as nervous as all get out, got the sphincter muscles going and epinephrine dump, and my seasoned EMT, who can literally save your life or kill you at the same time, is telling me how I need to just calm down, do what I'm supposed to do, and everything's going to be all right. Well, I wasn't listening to him at all, but we get there, and I guess once we got on the scene, I entered some kind of slow motion process because I attempt to get out of the truck and grab the pediatric bag and the monitor, and my EMT had managed to run to the house and somehow come out while before I even rounded the corner of the truck, and all I hear is, "Get in the truck!" And it's like all this happened in like this slow motion. I remember it today as it happened 9 years ago. So we proceeded to get in the truck and start working this code, which became very evident real quickly that this child was not going to make it and what had happened and the circumstances around the situation. But as we start to work this child, and I'm so nervous and trying to figure out what I'm going to do, and we're going to take this child to the hospital and get all this done, I'm looking for something as nervous as I am. And my EMT, who's very alert, and says, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" And I say, "And you got to understand that I'm just nervous, and I got to have this blue thingy. I need the blue thingy." And my EMT looks at me and points up to the ceiling of the ambulance of the bar and pulls down this tourniquet. It was right above me. And I was so nervous that I couldn't even see this tourniquet right above me. And so I get the tourniquet down and we finish the code and go to the hospital. And well, the results weren't good, but afterwards when the call was done, being that this was the first call and I happened to have a 14-month-old at home, and I called my boss and said, "I'll be back in an hour and a half," because I actually lived about in 45 minutes from there. And I said, "I'll be back in an hour and a half." I drove home. I saw my 14-month-old, and I drove right back. I wasn't home but 30 seconds, but I had to see her, and I came back to work, and everything's been fine since. But I tell that story because people, and I tell it every time I start a paramedic class or EMT class or whatever, because all the training in the world and in every class, we try to be more and more prepared, and that is the goal. But that first call out of the bat, you're so nervous and you're not going to have any idea what hits you, and that we need to train and train and train and train and education and education, because it wasn't the drugs that messed me up. It wasn't the monitor that messed me up. It wasn't the basic non-rebreather O2 that messed me up. I wanted a simple tourniquet that was hanging right above me, and I couldn't even see the tourniquet. And while it was my basic EMT that knew, "Oh, hey, it's right here," and pulled it down. So yeah, the outcomes didn't come great, but I always tell that story because it's the little things that make the big things. And to me, that means everything in the world. And that's my story.
What do you mean it's the little things that make the big things?
It's the little things in the call that make the results. in life and death. We all know drugs. We all know EKGs. We all know heart sounds and lung sounds. But do we all know passion and compassion? Do we all know when is the time to say, what do you really need? Do you need a hand or do you not need a hand? Or do we all, it's the little things in life that sometimes we need to spend more time on. She didn't, in this situation, the back of my ambulance, it wasn't drugs and it wasn't shock therapy and it wasn't O2 that I was so concerned about. It was a little piece of plastic. You know, sometimes life is that simple. It really is. And sometimes us in paramedic, we got all of our tinker toys and our electrical equipment, and we forget that it's sometimes as simple as a piece of plastic. Sometimes it's as simple as no plastic at all and giving a handshake or holding a hand. The simple things. It's the little bitty things that this society has forgotten about. That's my thought. I may be crazy, but that's what I believe.
Thank you so much for sharing, Chuck.
Well, thank you.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.